Being a ministry wife is a role without a job description. And let's be honest, sometimes it seems like ministry might be easier if we did have one. If you are a ministry wife like me and are looking for hope, perspective, and a little bit of practical advice regarding your role, you are in the right place. I'm Christine Hoover, and I'm a pastor's wife just like you. Welcome to the Ministry Wives Podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. Join me as we hear from women in various ministry contexts for authentic conversations about our shared joys and challenges, even the subjects we're unsure we can talk about. No topic is off limits. Today, my guest is Candy Gallaty. Candy is an author, a speaker, a pastor's wife, and a boy mom. She loves serving the Lord in full-time ministry and getting to do that alongside her husband, Robbie, who is the pastor of Long Hollow Baptist Church outside of Nashville. They have been in ministry for 18 years together, and Candy has a heart for discipling women. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Candy joins me to talk about discipling women and leading them to disciple others as well. So here, friends, is my conversation with Candy Gallaty. Welcome, Candy, to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
I'm excited, too. It's so fun when I get to interview people that I know in real life.
I know. So awesome.
This is the thing I think about you. So I met you at a Lifeway author's retreat, and I could see you one day. I've told you this, but I could see you one day. You were in my line of sight to the person who was giving a devotional, and you were just glued in to the word and everything that they said, and just like, yes. And I could tell you were really thinking about it, and I was like, that is a woman who loves God's word. I could see it just in the way that you were listening to that time. So, yeah.
Well, that's very sweet. Thank you so much. Yeah, I love the word. And I also have a very expressive, like, face. So, like, I can make some of the awful, I'm just very expressive. And so, like, if I'm concentrating, you can kind of tell. Or if I'm, like, if I'm disgusted by something, it's just everything is on the face, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's just kind of funny. Everybody laughs about it. But
that's good. That's how I am, too. I can't hide my feelings. I wish that I could hide it a little better, but I can't.
Yeah. Me either.
Well, you're also super passionate about other women knowing the word, and you do that a lot through discipleship. That's a passion that you have written about, you talk about. And so I would first love to know, how did discipleship and God's word become such a passion for you?
Yeah, well, it started really when I became a believer. So I was raised in the church and made a profession of faith when I was young, but I don't really think I understood the gospel as I would come to understand it a little bit later in life. So I was almost 21 years old, and I was in a really just bad, sinful relationship at the time. And the Lord just opened my eyes, and I knew that this relationship I had been trying to end for a long time wasn't ending because I did not have the strength to walk away from it. And I was trying and doing everything I could, but I wasn't depending on the Lord. And so finally, when the Lord just kind of opened my eyes and I just realized this is much more than just a relationship, this is a spiritual issue. And I fully surrendered my heart to the Lord. And I just don't think I had done that before, even as much as I was sincere and genuine as a 10 or 11 year old. When someone presented the gospel to me and I was almost 21, it was like, now I get it. You know, like I understand that Jesus died for this relationship that I'm in right now and these sinful choices that I'm making. Like he died for this, you know, I held him on the cross with how I'm living right now. And that became very personal for me. And immediately after giving my heart to the Lord, I was told to open the Bible and read, you know, like start making this a regular habit. And I resolved at that point to do that daily, because I knew if I didn't have something to shape and frame my worldview, I was going to make other poor choices, you know, in life. And so that's what I started to do. I started to read the word, and God just started showing me so much, you know, he started revealing so much to me, and I began to live my life in this manner. And so then all I wanted to do was come alongside other women and help them not make some of the mistakes that I had made, you know? So I began a lifestyle of discipleship before I really even had a clue what I was doing. It was literally just so that I could help other women not make bad choices. Like, let me help you as much as I can and help just walk alongside of you and point you to Jesus and talk through these life situations and just see if we can make some better choices here. And that's literally how discipleship was kind of birthed in my life, because I had not really seen it modeled necessarily. Yeah. No one had really kind of taken me under their wing to disciple me necessarily. I had seasons of investment from different people that I'm super thankful for, but no one that consistently kind of walked alongside of me. And so I just wanted to do that for other people and say, let's, we're in this together kind of a thing. Yeah. And how can I help you in any way I can and help you to grow closer to Jesus, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's literally how it started. And that was 4 years before I met my husband. And once I met him, he had the same desire and heart's passion. And so then it just became like an everyday conversation, you know, in our house. Like, how do we do this, you know, in the Christian life?
So fast forward, you guys have been married 18 years. Mm-hmm. And he's pastor of Long Hollow Baptist Church near Nashville. Yep. So you, as a pastor's wife, you have a lot of opportunity to influence the culture of the church.
Yes.
And discipleship is, I would say, a core value of your church, right? And so
absolutely.
I'd love to know how do you incorporate discipleship into your life as a pastor's wife?
Yeah. So I always tell people that it starts, like, it's truly a lifestyle that a Christian lives. So being a disciple, at the heart of it is a learner. So someone who's not stale and just content always to kind of stay the same, but someone who's constantly pursuing and seeking after Jesus, you know, constantly growing and striving to grow and to be conformed into his image. And so the number one way that we do that is through Bible engagement. You know, that's just the number one way. It's the word and it's prayer and the Spirit like working inside of us. So I always encourage others, you can't make disciples if you're not living as a disciple as yourself. And when God called us to salvation, it was a call to be a disciple. It was a call to, for the rest of our life, to follow after him and continuously be transformed into his image. And so I try to live my life in private, when nobody's watching, the exact same way I'm going to live it in public with girls that I disciple. Like, that's what I'm doing. Like, nobody sees me in those moments that I'm here by myself or reading the word or studying something or any of those things, but I'm a disciple of Jesus, you know? So how can I know him more? How can I allow his word to change me and help me to live this life? Because he's going to allow things to happen all throughout my life. And how am I going to learn to obey and live out his truth through what he allows to happen in my life? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I am living in this manner all day, every day by myself. Like, just that's what I'm doing. Constantly trying to abide in him. That's the goal. And if I'm doing those things, or if anybody is doing those things, investing in others is a natural outflow. Like, you almost cannot help it, because he's done so much for you and in you, you cannot help but pour that into someone else. So I always tell ladies this, that's where it starts. Yeah. Like, live as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And as you do that, as you practice spiritual disciplines, so on and so forth, you will not be able to help but invest in others, you know? And because we've been doing this for so many years, it has taken a lot of shape, you know, over the years. Whereas in the beginning, it was a lot of trial and error. Like, how do we make disciples in a way that is long lasting, you know, is easy to replicate, you know? And we always say we've paid a lot of dumb tax, because we've figured out by just trial and error over the years, like, what works, what doesn't work, and how can we tweak this process? And so literally, you know, it's an everyday conversation. We've met on discipleship for 18 years, you know, like, I mean, this has just been something that is always being talked about, and which is why we're so passionate about creating resources for that. And so when we came to Long Hollow almost 7 years ago, our church was highly evangelistic, and, you know, you did not have to teach anybody how to share the gospel. They were going to be able to do that. But our job was to kind of come in and help everybody continue that passion, but also marry it with discipleship and learn how to share our lives, because most people can give a gospel presentation, but can they truly share their life with others? Mm-hmm. You know, Paul says it in Thessalonians, you know, he told the church, you know, that he cared so much about them that he shared his very life with them. And that's part of discipleship, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we came in and the church knew that that was our heart and our passion. And so we wanted to come in and say, how can we marry these two passions and just change our community for the kingdom?
Yeah.
And so we taught a lot on it and what it means. And we did lots of trainings in the beginning to really help our church kind of understand our mindset and our mind frame and how do we do this biblically. And so that's literally, you know, how it all started. And Robbie and I, within 2 weeks of being at our church, had our first discipleship groups like ready to roll. And we were supposed to pray about it for like 3 months because we moved in October. So we were like, okay, let's pray, you know, because we knew nobody. Like yeah. We didn't know anybody yet, right? And so I'm like, let's pray until the end of the year. Let's just kind of pray and see what God would do. And then by January, we could have some groups formed and start. Well, we're 2 weeks in and Robbie's like, well, I got my guys. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, what happened to 3 months of prayer? And he was like, well, you know, I was praying and then, you know, the Lord just brought these opportunities of these guys that he met within the first few weeks. And we were like, okay. And so I was like, well, I wonder if their wives are interested. And so I asked the wives, they were super excited. So literally within 2 weeks, we had our first discipleship groups were like ready to rock and roll, you know? And then it's just never stopped since then. So it's just a constant discussion, you know, a constant thing we talk mm-hmm. about. And, we have groups like every year mm-hmm. and then those groups replicate and, you know, that process kind of continues on.
Can you tell us about those groups? What do you do? Mm-hmm. How long do these groups last? Like, give us as much logistical details as you can.
Yeah. So typically we encourage a group for 12 to 18 months at least. And I think that there are some exceptions to that where there may be some people who choose to go a little longer, some people go a little less, but a sweet spot really is 12 months and or maybe a little bit longer. And so we always go through a Bible reading plan. We never do only Bible studies or books or anything in our discipleship groups. Now, anything, we always say Bible reading plan. I want women to be in the Word for themselves so that they know the Spirit will speak to me. And so my goal is to teach others, Jesus has something to say to you, and you don't only have to depend on the preacher on Sunday or the teacher on another day of the week, like you have the Spirit. So we always say, the Bible is the textbook. So we choose a Bible reading plan, whatever Bible reading plan your heart desires, because there's tons of them out there. We create tons of them just so that people can have something manageable to read. And then anything that they want to do in addition to that, it would be optional, but would be like for the group. So if the group wants to read books, which I've done many times, I've read books along with my discipleship group over the years. Everything just wants to be laid out at the beginning. So like if I know we're going to do this Bible reading plan and I know that I'm going to most likely ask them to read a few books with me, I'm going to lay out those expectations at the very beginning of the group. So there's no surprises as to what I'm going to hold them accountable for. Mm-hmm. But it's always a Bible reading plan and you're going to commit to reading that as a group for 52 weeks or if you're going 18 months, you know, you're going 18 months. And we sign a covenant together. So all the expectations are laid out because if I'm putting as much of my heart and soul into this, I want the same from them. Because the thing about a discipleship group is it functions as a unit. It's not that I'm just the discipler and they're the disciples, you know, that's not how it works. Even though they're going to look to me as that leader, they're going to look to me as really pouring and investing in them. And I'm going to do everything I can to do that. But I am looking to them too. You know, what God shares and speaks to them throughout the week is going to minister to me. So it functions as a unit, you know? So we're committing and signing that covenant to one another, mm-hmm. To the Lord first, but then to one another. And so literally we say, okay, we're going to read. Like, so my group actually starts tonight, my new group. And we're going to be reading the Bible in a year. That's our reading plan. So it's the Bible, but the guide to that is the Bible in a year. And we're going to journal as we go through that. So typically I say to girls, I want you to journal 2 to 3 times a week. Now, I would love it for you to journal 5 times a week because you're reading 5 days a week. However, if you're crunched for time, whatever, you know, there's flexibility here. So you are going to get out of this what you put into it. And so I ask that you journal 2 to 3 times a week, but I would love it if you journaled more. That's up to you. I'm going to hold you accountable to at least 2 a week, like where we're going to share these to one another. And so they know that from the very beginning. We're going to journal through this. We're going to share about what, you know, we're learning. And then when we get together once a week, we sit around a couch or a table or a coffee shop or wherever we're at, and we share what God has shown us that week, you know, and we're memorizing scripture too. So we share out loud verbally our scripture, because if we don't do those things, we're not going to do them. Mm-hmm. Like if I don't ask them, hey, what did God show you this week? Or, hey, what's your memory verse? If I never ask them and call them to be accountable for that, then they're not going to do them and I'm not going to do them.
Yeah.
So I need the accountability. They need the accountability. We're going to do this together, you know, but that's kind of what that group looks like. We journey together for the whole entire year. So it's much more than just our Bible reading and just that weekly meeting. I mean, we're friends and we're journeying through life together for a whole entire year. So you begin to know one another on a deeper level. Mm-hmm. There's an intimacy that happens.
And in your opinion, what is the right size group to have?
Yeah. 4 to 6 is probably a really good number. And the reason I say 4 to 6 is because it helps to really have a group dynamic when you're sitting there and you're kind of discussing. One-on-one is extremely hard. The replication rate is very hard, but it becomes more of a, I don't think I can do what she just did with me for a year. So you eliminate that when you have more of a group dynamic. And I think it's a personal preference. And I think how the Lord leads each individual person that's starting a group, because you could have 3, you could have 6, you could have 7. I think if you get anywhere between 7, 8, 9, 10, you're getting way too big, because you as a investing into them is going to be very hard. You're going to be stretched a little thin, because here's the thing, life happens, right? And it is messy. And so if I'm stretched thin trying to invest in 10 people and I've got 5 of them whose lives are falling apart all of a sudden, I'm going to be extremely stretched in trying to minister to them and love on them. So I try to be wise in that. And I've had groups like that before where I've had 6 or 7 girls in a group, and just through the nature of life, lots happen in that year's time. So you just kind of want to be wise about that and then choose what you think you'll be able to manage. And normally for me personally, it's somewhere between 4 and 6.
Mm-hmm. And is a part of the covenant they sign that they will then go and lead a group themselves when they're finished?
That's right. Yeah. It's in my covenant, I put weekly attendance is very important, because I don't want somebody just all of a sudden not showing up for weeks on end. And we're all like, well, where's Susie? She's, you know, dropped off the face of the earth. Which, I mean, I would have already contacted Susie if it had been like 3 weeks in a row or something. But I want everybody to know attendance is very important. And so I put that in the covenant, and I put, you know, this is the reading plan, 52 weeks. We're going to journal 2 to 3 times. We're going to memorize a scripture. And then, you know, the last expectation is that you will prayerfully consider replicating this once you've come to the end. And for the most part, I find that the ladies want to do that at that point. I mean, they're never like, it's kind of like birds that don't want to necessarily fly the nest. You know, they may they may say, I just don't know. You know, like I've loved this group. Our time's been so great, you know? And I'm like, yeah, but there are other girls that need to feel the same way a year from now. Right. And so, and you can do this, you know? And so most of them are excited, but some are just, it's a bittersweet thing, because you hate to move on from this, this wonderful group that you've been a part of for, you know, a year. But yet, you know, there's a responsibility, but there's also other women who still, they need to feel and sense that too.
That's so good. Well, this is a good time to stop and talk about the new Bible study you've written. You mentioned the Bible in a year, but I don't know if the listeners know that is the title of a Bible study that you have created, where you've given us the resource, the Bible plan. So can you tell us a little bit about the Bible study?
Yeah. So, you know, I've my husband and I have created plans for years, just Bible reading plans. We wanted, this used to be, I've told you, we've talked about this for 18 years, and we, our arguments sometimes would be about discipleship. And so we would say, you know, we would argue about, so funny to think about this, but he would say, you know, I always, at that point in time, when we were kind of arguing about this, I was always reading the Bible in its entirety in a year. So that's, it was just something I had been very challenged to do and inspired by, and I would just do it, you know? And he would, so in my groups, we're reading the whole entire Bible in a year, which is a lot. It's a lot of reading in 1 year's time. And Robbie would not do that. So he was reading less, you know, in his groups. And so he would tell me, you're reading too much. Like, you're reading too much to digest it. And then I said to him, you're not reading enough. Okay. And so we would go back and forth. And finally we said, okay, let's come together and let's create a plan where a busy believer could have success in reading the Bible. They don't have to be overwhelmed by, I've got to read the whole thing in a year. And I'm not reading too little. So let's come together. And so literally years ago, we came together and we started creating Bible reading plans. This one is the first one, the Bible in a year, that is specifically for women. And so Robbie did not really necessarily help me with this one. It takes one of our original reading plans that we created together and it expands on that. And so the journaling method that we use, which is in, I teach it in the Bible in a year study, it's called the heart method. And the reason it's the heart method is because for years it was the hear method. So it's highlight, explain, apply, and respond. And that's how I've journaled for years. It's short and sweet, and it just helps me to focus on a passage that I'm reading that day and truly apply it to my life and also to respond to the Lord in that way. So for years and years, I've journaled with this method. And I realized as I was creating this resource that if I added a T to the end of it, it spells heart. And I'm like, and my life verse is guard your heart, you know, above all else, Proverbs 4:23. And I'm like, Lord, this could not be more perfect. And I was so excited. And I love pulling out truths from scripture, you know, like truths that I can cling to. And I'm like, the T is for truth. What, whatever truth that is in the passage that day, and there could be tons of them,
yeah,
but write down at least one, you know, write down a truth you can cling to. So throughout the study, we just kind of wanted to take that guesswork out. Like, we don't want you opening your Bible and trying to figure out what to do that day. Yeah. We want you to have a plan, you know? And so the, it lays out for you 5 out of 7 days a week, a reading portion, you know, it gives you the passage to read. It gives you a couple of verses that you have an option of choosing which one to memorize for the week. It gives you space to journal. And there's all kinds of like sidebar content, you know, for different little nuggets here and there. And at the end of each week, there's a reflection period. Like, I really wanted ladies to be able to go back the 5 days that they read and the 5 days that they journaled and just pull out one thing that they could remember, yeah, from that, you know. And since it's only a 5 out of 7 day reading plan, on those other 2 days, you could really use it as a reflection period, like go, mm-hmm, back over what you've already done, or just really let the Lord speak those truths to your heart, you know, and just kind of meditate on them. And so it, I really wanted it to be an interactive study, mm-hmm, where yes, an individual could do it all day long, but the, you're going to really maximize and enhance everything that you're doing personally when you do it corporately and, yeah, you do it with a group of 4 to 6. Mm-hmm. It's just the power in that when you are sitting around a table and you've all done the same reading that week, but yet the Lord has spoken to you differently.
Mm-hmm. That's,
there's
so
power in that, you know? Yeah. I mean, there is power, power, power. And I just get excited because I'm like, oh my gosh, like, you know, I didn't see that, or the Lord didn't share that with me, you know, like he did with you. And it's just the power of the Word and the Spirit. And I can't get enough of that. And I get super excited about it, but then the girls get super excited about it. And it's like, we're cheering each other on, you know, through, yes, this journey. Yeah. And so really the Bible in a year is a resource. And the heart behind it is, I just want women to fall in love with the Word and have success and enjoy it. Like, I want this to be, I sit down every day with Jesus and I enjoy him and I'm learning and I'm growing and I'm knowing him better. And he's, you know, speaking to me throughout that. So I just, that's what I desire for women to get from the study.
And I love it because you also provide these teaching videos that get you started. So we've talked about it as a Bible study, but it's really not a typical Bible study. It's a resource that you can use, and you give through these teachings, you give people who facilitate the groups kind of a jumping off point, and
then
you can run with it. And I also want to highlight your first book, Disciple Her, is really for the leader, right? That somebody who's listening and they're going, I want to do this in my church. They can take that book and kind of read through to know, okay, here's how I can do this. And then they can use your resource if they want to begin doing these groups like you talked about.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Disciple Her answers a lot of the questions. It's kind of the nuts and bolts of what a discipleship group looks like. And I kind of learn in a very practical step-by-step manner. And so that's how I wrote it. Like I wrote Disciple Her so it would hopefully answer questions that people were thinking.
Yeah.
And they could pick it up at any point in time as a resource or as a manual to say, okay, where am I at in this process? Mm-hmm. And, you know, did I forget this? Or, you know, whatever it might be. It's really something that hopefully will aid them as they do this in their own life.
Yeah. So what are, for women who are already doing this, they may have, maybe they're not doing exactly like you, but they are seeking intentionally to make disciples. And we run into some issues along the way, some obstacles, maybe some discouragement. What are some of the common issues that you've run into as a disciple-making woman? And what have you learned that you could share with us?
Yeah, I would say, and some of this I have written about in Disciple Her in more detail, but I'll say the two main issues that I've probably come across is, or I guess you could say three. One would be laziness. And that, you know, I'm not a lazy person. And so, and I'm also like, I guess what is it, type A and very like, you know, strict and stuff like that. And I understand that not everybody's like that, right? And the world needs all kinds of people. So it's not like one's better than the other. However, when we sign a covenant together, you know, and we say we're going to commit to this and, you know, somebody's not kind of showing up or it just becomes like evident that it's not as important to them, you know, then that's where like a conversation needs to be had or, you know, something of that nature. And I've had to do that different times. And it's never to discourage, but to just really rally around that person and say, okay, what's going on and how can I help you get it back engaged? Or, you know, is there something more you need in life right now? And this discipleship group is not it, you know, like what can I do to help you get to this healthy place? And so, you know, that's one issue. And I said this before too, is that life is kind of messy. So things can be up and down in someone's life. And you just kind of have to navigate that the best that you can through prayer, obviously, and just asking the Lord how to help, you know, shepherd that person, that individual person. So I would encourage to be very sensitive to the Spirit as you're praying, you know, for the ladies that are in your group and obedient to what God calls you to do as a leader, because he will speak and share and do and lead you in a certain way that he does for leaders, you know? And so I would just encourage you to kind of listen to that. If there needs to be conversations had with members in the group, I never do that in front of the group. That's always in private. So that's a lunch or a coffee or a phone call or whatever. And, you know, sometimes you don't have to do this at all, but there are some times where this happens. And, you know, whether it's laziness or just, you know, one time I had someone that was just kind of going through a lot and it was, I think she was just kind of down in the dumps a little bit. And then it was just like that was affecting the whole group. So everybody knew something's not right. And all it took was a conversation and like, hey, you know, I'm for you and I know the Lord would want you to keep doing this. And the reengaged happened. You know, she was reengaged. It was great. Sometimes you run into scent issues, you know, where, and that's hard. And so it's very delicate and you have to be very wise in how you handle it. You know, Jesus was gentle, right? So I try to be gentle and compassionate, but he spoke truth with authority and love. So I've had to confront habitual sin before. I mean, it's not easy. It is not fun at all. But I would not be the friend to that person or a Christian example if I didn't confront those things. So that is something you just have to be gentle and loving with. But again, as the Lord leads you, you have to be obedient to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And so, anyway, so sometimes there are some issues like that that come up and it might require private conversation or something of that nature, but it's nothing I don't think that anybody could not handle. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. In a group.
What about as the disciple maker, the facilitator? I love how you did highlight that this is not a teacher student thing. Mm-hmm. This is a,
right.
We're all learning and growing here. But as the facilitator, when you go through hard things, you know, I know you've gone through some hard seasons in the past year.
Sure.
How does that affect those groups? Do you share that openly? You know,
right.
Speak to that.
Yeah. Yes. For the most part, yes. The answer is yes. So I cannot expect them to do something that I'm not willing to do either. So obviously, because I'm the pastor's wife, I can't necessarily share everything, right? But as much as I can share, I do. So like I remember one time I went through a really hard season of anxiety, and it was new to me. The way it manifested itself was new. So I think I had anxiety most of my life, but I didn't know that that's what it was. And how it came about, this was probably about 5 years ago. It was like all of a sudden, and it was pretty big deal. And I was fighting through it for months. And it was over the summer, which in our discipleship groups, the summer, it's very hard to everybody to be there at the same time every week. But I knew when I came back from the summer, number one, I was going to the doctor because I was like, I cannot live like this. And I don't think God would want me living like this. And so I'm like, I'm going to the doctor because I've got to find out what's going on. And my doctor was in my discipleship group at the time. Which was fun, which I love her. She's precious. And so I remembered thinking, I cannot not share this. Yeah. Plus, I am kind of an open book person, but I was like, I have got to let these girls know, like, I need their prayers. Like, this is a big deal to me, you know? And so I was like, if I want them to come in and tell me what they're struggling with, they need to know what I'm struggling with. And so I went in and told them, you know, I'm like, I have been struggling this summer with this, you know, what we're trying to figure out, but eventually figured out was anxiety. And so they rallied around me and prayed for me. And I need that. I need that, you know?
Yeah.
And so as much as I can share, I do share, you know, even if it was like something about Robbie and I, like we hadn't been seeing eye to eye these last months or, you know, whatever. I just need y'all to pray that we would, you know, get on the same page or something. I would have no problem sharing that, you know? I just want an authenticity and a transparency from them. And so I have to model it too. Mm. And they know also whatever we talk about in this room is completely confidential. And so that's in the covenant, you know, like we're not going out and we're not sharing anything that we say in our group together unless we have gotten permission from that person to do that. And so we try to be very mindful of that. But yeah, so it all just kind of depends on what the nature of it is. But if it's something I'm personally kind of struggling or going through with, I'm going to share that with them because they love me and they're going to help me, you know, through that.
Well, you've talked so much about this covenant. Is that included in your book, Disciple Her?
Yes. There's an example in the back. Yes. And I think there is an example also, or it's either an example in the back of the Bible in a Year or it is a downloadable option. One thing I will say too, because your podcast is to ministry wives, some of my favorite groups are ministry wives groups. I absolutely love the discipleship group I'm starting next is full of staff wives.
Yay.
And I love it because they relate to me so well. Like you're living the same life. You get the struggles. You get the challenges and the rewards. And I love being able to walk alongside them and them walk alongside me and us really be cheering one another on. So I really thoroughly enjoy getting to have groups that are made up of staff wives, you know, and that's a really neat dynamic. And so I always encourage women, like if you're on staff or if you're the pastor's wife, you know, consider discipling a couple of your staff wives, you know, minister's wives, and really, it's just such a great way to invest in them and to steward that influence well that we have.
That's so good. Okay, so just as we close, for people who are just so excited about what you're talking about, like, I want to do this, I want to go for it, what would you say is the first step they need to take?
I would say the first step is obviously being reading the word themselves.
Yes.
Like, so I always, that's just baseline. That has got to be where you start. Developing a routine daily that you spend with Jesus, you know, and I mean, make it fun, like pick your spot in the house and you get it. You get, I mean, I got a cozy little nook, that I go to. I mean, it's pitch black dark in the morning when I wake up, I get my coffee. I don't even let my dogs out. I'm like, ain't nobody interrupting my time with Jesus, you know, like everybody needs to leave me alone. And I mean, cause I wake up super early just so I can have this time, you know, so I hate it when I'm interrupted. And so like I get in my little chair, but I say, you know, find your spot, you know, where is it that you can go to every day and make it a sweet time with Jesus. And as you begin to do that, start to pray, you know, who would the Lord bring in your life? You know, you've already got an area of influence. You've already got groups you're a part of. You've already got connections. So could it be that the Lord might be leading you to pray about choosing a few of those women to see if they'd be interested in discipleship groups? So start personally reading the word, start praying, and let the Lord bring women to your heart and your mind. And then once you're solidified, like, you know what, I really feel like these are some women that God has specifically laid on my heart, ask them to join you in doing what you're doing already.
Love it.
Which is reading the word.
I love it. And I also love how you said cozy little nook. You have that
oh, yeah.
Louisiana accent.
Yeah. So true. So true.
Everybody get your cozy little nook.
That's right.
Well, thanks, Candy, for joining me. This has been so good and so helpful. And I don't know, but I'm encouraging everyone to go put those books in your Amazon cart or wherever you get your books. Get Candy's books and let's do this. Let's make disciples together. Thanks
that's
for
right,
creating
that's right.
these resources for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Welcome. It's my pleasure.
Thanks so much for listening to the Ministry Wives podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. If you found this content helpful, please subscribe, rate, and review us on your podcast platform or share it with a friend. You can find this podcast and other helpful resources at ministrywivespodcast.com.